Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
Well, do we have any school teachers in the house tonight? A lot of you, thankful for you. A lot of my family is in education. And so I heard this story that they always appreciate. It was Christmas time. There was a kindergarten teacher who had all of her students, and they were, of course, bringing her presents. And the first little boy came up, and his daddy owned the local florist. And so it was kind of obvious what the present was going to be. But the teacher kind of played along, and she shook the box. She said, "I don't know, little Johnny, what could it be? I bet it's some flowers." And he was like, "Oh, how did you know? You're so smart." She's like, "I don't know. It was just a hunch." Next little boy came along, and his daddy owned the local candy shop. And so, again, she kind of shook the box. She knew what it was, but she played along. She said, "I bet it's a box of candy, chocolates." He's like, "How did you know?" She's like, "Well, I just had a hunch." Well, the next little boy came along, and his mom and dad owned the local liquor store. And the teacher held the package overhead, and she shook it really hard, and it was leaking. So she touched a drop of the leakage with her finger and put it on her tongue. She's like, "I don't know. Let me guess, is it white grape juice?" He's like, "No, try again." So she kept shaking the box, and it continued to leak more, and she did the same thing. And she said, "Is it ginger ale?" And he said, "No, keep guessing." So she kept shaking, and it kept leaking, and she kept tasting it. And finally, she said, "Junior, I give up. What's in the box?" And with a big smile, he said, "It's a puppy." Opening story on Christmas Eve about a liquor store and a doggy doing his business on a school teacher. I'll get some emails about that, but that's all right because I'm vacationing next week. All those emails will go directly to Pastor Jay, and he'll follow up in the new year. In all seriousness, tonight I want to tell you a story, and it's a story about the coming of a king and the coming of a savior. This story was actually written over the course of 1,500 years. The author of this story is God himself. And I'm going to tell this story tonight, not using any of my own words or any of my own interpretation or illustrations. Tonight, I'm going to tell the Christmas story using only the words of God himself. It will literally be the perfect sermon. And the story goes like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. And then the Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to watch over it. And the Lord God commanded the man. He said, "You are free to eat out of any tree in this whole garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on the day you eat of that tree, you will certainly die." Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And so the serpent said to the woman, "Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden?" "You will not die," the serpent said to the woman. Well, the woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at. It was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And so God said to the man, "Because you listened to your wife and you ate from the tree, the ground is cursed because of you. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." But then God said to that serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed. I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between her offspring and your offspring. You will strike his heel, but he will crush your head. Then a star came from Jacob. A scepter will arise from Israel, Bethlehem. You are so small among all the clans of Judah. But Bethlehem, one will come from you to be a ruler for me over all of Israel. David, I will make a great name for you, like that of the greatest on earth. And David, I will raise up after you your descendant who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. He will vindicate the afflicted among the people. He will help the poor. He will crush the oppressor. May the rule, he will rule from sea to sea and from the Euphrates to the end of the earth. May desert tribes kneel before this king and his enemies lick the dust. Let all kings bow in homage to him. All the nations will serve this king. And God said, I will install my king on Zion, my holy mountain. You are my son. Today, I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. This is the declaration of the Lord. He said to my Lord, set at my right hand until I make all your enemies your footstool. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion. You will rule over all your surrounding enemies. But this king, he won't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him. This king will have no appearance that we should desire him. He will come to his own, and his own people will not receive him. He will be despised and rejected by men. Why do the nations rage? Why do peoples plot against him in vain? The kings of the earth will take their stand. The rulers will conspire together against the Lord and against this anointed king. And he will be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He will be like someone people turned away from. He will be despised. And we won't value him. Yet he himself will bear our sicknesses. He will carry our pains. But we in turn will regard him as stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he will be pierced because of our rebellion. He will be crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace will be on him. And he will be the healer of our wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way, but the Lord will punish him for the iniquity of us all. He will willingly submit to death, and he will be counted among the rebels. Yet he will bear the sins of many, and he will intercede for all of us rebels. He will say, I am poured out like water. All my bones are disjointed. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength is dried up like baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. Yet for my thirst, they give me vinegar to drink. They put me into the dust of death. A gang of evildoers has closed in on me. They pierced my hands and they pierced my feet. I can count all my bones. People look at me and they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. The house of David and the residents of Jerusalem, they will look at me whom they pierced. They will mourn for me as one mourns for an only child, and they will weep bitterly for me as one weeps for a firstborn. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? But, the day will come when there will be no more gloom for those who are in anguish. God shall make the land glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walk in darkness, they will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them, and you shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be joyful in your presence because a child will be born for us. A son will be given to us, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, and his dominion will be vast, and his prosperity will never end. And this king will reign over the throne of David and over his kingdom forever to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forevermore. Listen, house of David, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin, she will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to Mary and he said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you, Mary." She was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. And the angel said to her, "Mary, don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Listen, Mary, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and Mary, his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." And the angel said, "Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And Mary, the Holy One to be born, he will be called the Son of God." Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, because he was to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth, and she laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock. But the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. Look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that's for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Christ, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Then suddenly there was a multitude of all the heavenly hosts with all the angels praising God, and they were crying out, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to the people that he favors." And there was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. This man, he was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Messiah. So guided by the Holy Spirit, Simeon entered into the temple. Then he blessed them and told the baby's mother, "Mary, Mary, indeed this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel. And this child, he will be a sign that will be opposed. Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul." Jesus grew. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and man. then John the Baptist came along, preaching in the wilderness, saying, repent because the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus, he is the one spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, who said, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. And then when Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water, and the heavens suddenly opened up for Jesus, and he saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and coming down on Jesus, and a voice from heaven cried out, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent because the kingdom of heaven has come near. And Jesus went all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. And Jesus was healing every disease and sickness among all the people. And then Jesus said, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry again, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the vine. You are the branches. Abide in me, and I will abide in you, and you will bear much fruit. But without me, you can't do anything, because I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if you die, you shall live. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through me. I am the gate for the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I have come so that you can have life and have it more abundantly, because I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. And I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take my life back up again. And so Jesus went to his hometown, and he began to teach them in their synagogues. They were astonished, and they said, where did this Jesus get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? And they were offended by him. Many of them said of Jesus, he has a demon, he's crazy. Why do you listen to Jesus? Jesus said, truly, I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. I and the Father, we are one. Jesus was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. This is why the Pharisees went out and plotted against Jesus, because he made himself equal to God. And they conspired how they might kill him. From then on, Jesus began to point out to his disciples that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. But then Satan entered Judas called Iscariot. And Judas went to the chief priest, and Judas said, what are you willing to give me if I hand Jesus over to you? So they weighed out 30 pieces of silver for Judas. And from that time, Judas started looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, Jesus said, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. Deeply distressed, each one began to say to Jesus, surely not I, Lord. Jesus said, the one who dipped his hand with me in the bowl, he will betray me. Judas, his betrayer, replied, surely not I, Rabbi. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and he said, take, eat, this is my body. And then he took a cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them and he said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Then Jesus said to them, tonight, all of you will fall away because of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But Peter said, Jesus, if everyone falls away because of you, Jesus, I would never fall away from you. Jesus said to Peter, truly I tell you, tonight, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said, Jesus, even if I have to die with you, I would never deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, suddenly appeared. And with him a large mob with swords and clubs from the chief priests and elders of the people. And his betrayer had given them a sign. The one I kiss, he's the one. Arrest him. So immediately Judas went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus said, friend, why have you come? But all this had to happen so that the writings of the prophets would be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted Jesus and ran away. Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl approached him and said, you were with Jesus the Galilean. Peter denied it in front of everybody, and Peter said, I don't know what you're talking about. And when Peter had gone out to the gateway, another woman saw Peter and told those who were there, this man, he was with Jesus the Nazarene. And again, Peter denied it with an oath and he said, I don't know that man. And a little while later, they were standing there and another approached and she said to Peter, you really are one of them. Even your accent, it gives you away. Then Peter began to curse and he swore with an oath, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. Then Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor said, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, you say so. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, Jesus didn't answer. And Pilate said to him, don't you hear how much they are testifying against you? But Jesus did not answer him on even one charge. So that the governor was quite amazed, because Isaiah had prophesied, he will be oppressed and afflicted, yet he will not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before her shears, he will not open his mouth. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the governor's residence, and they gathered the whole company around him, and they stripped him and dressed him in a scarlet robe, and they twisted together a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and placed a staff in his right hand. And they knelt down before Jesus and they mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews. Then they spat on him, took the staff, and kept hitting him on the head. And after they had mocked Jesus, they stripped him of the robe and they put his own clothes on him, and they led him away to crucify him. And from noon until 3 PM, darkness came over the whole land. At 3 PM, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. Thank you.
after the Sabbath. As the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and approached the tomb. And he rolled back the stone and was sitting on it, and his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of the angel that they became like dead men. But the angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know who you are looking for. It's Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here. He has risen just as he said he would. Come and see the place where he lay." Later, Jesus himself stood in the midst of his disciples, and he said to them, "Peace, peace to you." But they were startled and terrified. They thought they'd seen a ghost. And Jesus said, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? Look at my hands, look at my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see." And having said this, he showed them his hands and feet. He told them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, in the Psalms, they must be fulfilled." Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And then he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, and Jesus lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was carried up into heaven. And while he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand staring up into heaven? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven, he will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven." And then I saw heaven opened, and there was a great white horse. His rider is called Faithful and True, and he judges and makes war with justice. And his eyes, they were like a fiery flame, and with many crowns were on his head. He had a name written on himself that no one knows but himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies that were in heaven followed him, also on white horses, wearing pure white linen, and a sharp sword came from his mouth, so that he might strike the nations with it. He will rule the nations with a rod of iron. He will trample the winepress of the fury and wrath of God the Almighty. And he has a name written on his robe and on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then Jesus, seated on the throne, said, "Look, I am making all things new." And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. The main street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. I did not see a temple in this city, because the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in that city, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. People will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God, he will give them light, and they will reign with him forever and ever. And then I heard another loud voice from the throne, "Look, God's dwelling place is with man. He will live with them. They will be his people, and he will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more, and grief and crying and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away, and there will no longer be anything accursed." Then King Jesus said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright and morning star." Both the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let anyone who hears say, "Come to Jesus." Let the one who is thirsty come to Jesus. Let the one who desires take the water of life freely and come to Jesus, because Jesus testifies about these things and says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Ladies and gentlemen, that is the greatest story ever told. So let's stand and let's honor and applaud this King Jesus. Let's clap for King Jesus and shout for King Jesus because he is worthy. Give him glory. He is King. He is ruler. He is Savior. He is Lord of all, and he is returning. The first time Jesus came, it was a silent night, but the next time there will be nothing silent about it. So let's sing tonight with joy for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.